Welcome to the Pilgrim Radio Show. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson from the St. John's Reformed Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've got a Bible study, a church plant going on here in Omaha that meets down at the Country Inn and Suites at 7 p.m. on Pratt Avenue on your way to the airport. It meets on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. now. We might be switching to Sunday nights in a couple of weeks. But you can find out more about that at stjohnsrcus.com. And today we're going to continue talking about worship. I'm here with Reverend Bill Weber, minister from the CRC, Christian Reformed Church. And we are continuing our discussion of worship. And particularly about the holiness of God today and how that affects our worship. Let me read from Deuteronomy chapter 4 for a moment. I'm going to begin reading with verse 23. It says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest we forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or a likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Now that's verse 23 and 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. A reminder that the Lord is described often as a consuming fire, and that he is that it's not to be forgotten, that he has told us how he wants us to worship. And the warning here from Moses is, take heed, make sure you're careful, because the Lord is a consuming fire. And if you go about following after other gods, or if you go about changing the way that we approach the Lord, then you are going to run afoul of the Lord your God.
Yeah, and he's a jealous God. Here it says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And I think that's a sort of surprising maybe attribute of the Lord that maybe we wouldn't expect. And yet, it sort of flows from the idea that the Lord is married to his people, his people that he's come into covenant relationship with. In the Old Testament, you had the Lord described as the bridegroom and his people as the bride. And so there was this husband-wife relationship between the Lord. And of course, that gets picked up in the New Testament when Jesus Christ is described as our bridegroom and the church is his bride. And just as you don't want your bride your wife to commit adultery, to be with anyone else, and you would be a little bit jealous if she was doing that. So the Lord is against all forms of idolatry, that his people would be maybe tempted to partake in.
And I think that we suffer that same temptation today, just as the Israelites were surrounded with a culture that was completely pagan and opposed to the idea of monotheism and what we would call Christianity today. It's not any different today. We're surrounded by people who want us to sell short our values and to change what we believe in order to fit into a culture that rejects Jesus Christ and his teaching. And so the warning to take heed is applicable to us today, just as much as it was to the Israelites. Flip on over in Deuteronomy, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I'll start reading there with, verse 31 of Deuteronomy chapter 12. It says, "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and daughters they've burned in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And here the Lord is specifically talking about worship, reminding us it's not to be like the worship of everything else, of all the other pagan gods that were around him. And he tells us that if I've commanded you, you need to observe it. You need to keep it. You need to do it. Don't add to it, and don't take away from it. And therefore, what should regulate our worship is not what we see going on in the culture around us. What should regulate our worship is what God says in his word.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, you know, what the reformers called sola scriptura. You know, they used lots of Latin terms back then, but sola meaning only, and scriptura obviously meaning scripture, that only scripture should be our guide for faith and practice. And worship, of course, is probably the most important practice that we do as we work at as human beings, is to worship the Lord. And so surely if scripture guides every aspect of our faith and our life, then it surely must also govern our practice of worship.
You know, I mean, you could go on and to other places, 2 Timothy 3:16, about 17, where it thoroughly equips us for every good work. Therefore, clearly we have what we need in order to worship the Lord through His Word, because it's God-breathed. And, you know, even at the end of Revelation, telling us again, don't take away and don't add to this book. And that, I think, applies not just to the book of Revelation, but to all of what He's saying. And the question is, how often when we come to worship, are we actually thinking about what has the Lord told us to do in worship? And are we coming following His prescription? Or are we coming at it mindlessly and not thinking about what goes on in the worship around us?
Well, even the Ten Commandments, you know, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is prohibiting the worship of idols. So it's very important that we get it straight who it is that we are worshiping. We worship the triune God. We worship the Father through the Son and by the Spirit. And that's very vital, you know. And I think, Lee, in our culture today, in some ways the word God can mean almost anything.
That's true.
You know, it for some people, it's you know, it's some sort of abstract force. The force be with you, whatever it was in the Star Trek movie, and you know, and for other people, you know, he's sort of a sentimental sort of Santa Claus. He's only love, and he has no attributes of holiness and justice. And so, I think it's really important that we're clear that we need to worship the triune God, the God who's been revealed in Scripture. And that means that we have to let this book determine who it is that who God is described as. And we learn that from the whole counsel of God, that He is the triune God and that He has been revealed to us perfectly in His Son. And so I think that's first. And the second thing, then, when you look at the second commandment, that you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in the creation. That's the Bill Weber paraphrase here, but maybe I can find the actual commandment here. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. And it says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You know, that second commandment is also vital for worship, because it's saying that it's very important how you worship. If the first commandment is teaching us who we worship, the second commandment is saying that we worship this God not through things that we make, but in a specific way that He commands. And so maybe we can get more into that in our next segment.
Yeah, we'll do that right after the break. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson, and this is Reverend Bill Weber, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is AM 660 KCRO Radio.
Welcome back to Pilgrim Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson, and this is Reverend Bill Weber is here with me, and we are discussing worship. And we have been talking about how the Lord has told us that we are to worship how He commands. Deuteronomy 12:32, whatever I command, observe to do it, Don't add to it and don't take away from it. So let me, for a moment, read from Leviticus chapter 10, an example of how we worship, which is where we left off. How we worship is important to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 10, I'll start with, well, we'll read the first three verses here. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therefore and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out from the fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Here, Aaron's sons, who were priests, offered something, offered an incense, a strange fire before the Lord that had not been commanded. And the Lord dropped fire from heaven and consumed them. And he explained it to Aaron through Moses when he said, I said I would be sanctified before the people. This is, you will not come to me in ways that haven't been commanded. And that goes against a lot of our thinking about worship today. I was reading something just the other day where it was saying the Lord doesn't care about form. He cares only about your heart and about your intentions. And I think that that's not what Deuteronomy 12:32 and Leviticus 10 is saying. It's not an either or. You don't have to pick form over heart or heart over form. It's both. Your heart should be in the forms, and the forms are the way that the Lord has said to come before
it. Yeah, I remember in being in church a few years back, and we were singing this little chorus that said, come just as you are to worship. And, you know, it was a song that I haven't heard it recently, but it used to be fairly popular at the beginning of worship services. And I always sort of cringed when I heard that chorus, you know, because in one sense, we do come just as we are. We come as sinners, but we come as sinners who've put our faith in Jesus Christ. And if we actually just came into God's holy presence apart from the work that Christ has done for us, that would be bad news for us.
Yes.
We would end up like Nadab and Abihu here. And well, some people say, well, but haven't things changed in the New Testament? But I would point to verses like, maybe I can find it here real quick, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. And there we learn that, our God is a consuming fire. Let me see if I can find that and read that for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his character remains the same. And just as he was a consuming fire in Leviticus 10, so he's a consuming fire here. And so for that reason, we have to, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 28, worship God acceptably. And one of the things that we learn from Hebrews and all of Scripture, really, is that we worship acceptably when we worship through our mediator, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that holiness of God, that need for a mediator, is something that is essential. And I think it's something that we don't sort of say, well, it's not that important to be that precise in our worship services. I really think it is. We need to worship just as our Lord commanded, and not just sort of how we think, he would be in our own imagination.
Yes.
Or something.
And I think that the Hebrews 12 there, and Leviticus 10 and Deuteronomy 4:24, it shows us that the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're speaking about the same God, and he hasn't changed. And just as in the Old Testament they were to come through Christ by looking forward, we're to come through Christ looking back upon his cross. And therefore, every worship service has to focus on Christ. The the songs need to direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The confession of sin, assurance of pardon should direct us to Christ. And the sermons ought to direct us to Christ. And it's always, just like the Israelites, a great temptation to look around and say, well, you know, this over here, it's popular. Maybe we can draw people in with that. Because as Paul says in Galatians, the gospel's an offense. It drives people away. The temptation is always to diminish Christ and increase something else. And that's going to lead to the unacceptable worship and a consuming fire, as it did for Nadab and Abihu.
Well, I think too, you know, Leah, I would say that one of the reasons that is so important for us to exalt Christ and to see His glory in our worship service is that is what part of what we believe in the Reformed Church. We believe that God meets with His people through the means of grace, and the means of grace in the worship service are essentially His Word and His sacraments, but especially the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we believe that just as Jesus is offered to us as the bread of life in the preaching of the Word and as we read His Word, so in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, He's also offered to us so that we feed upon Him by faith. And so if you have a worship service that isn't giving to the people Jesus Christ and all of His benefits and offering Him and His benefits to the people again and again, it's almost as though we're not doing our job as ministers. We're not feeding our flock.
Yeah.
And so, because really, without Him, there is no substitute for Him as the bread of heaven, the bread of life.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned John 6, a great chapter here talking about Jesus as the bread. It's one of my favorites, I have to admit. And he talks there in verse 63, it's the spirit that quickens, it's the flesh profits nothing to you. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. And then if you go on down in verse 66, there we see that a lot of the disciples, not the 12, but other people who were following him, they leave. They're confused by the teaching, and there it is. Again, the gospel's an offense. It drives people away. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will you also go away, in verse 67? And Peter's answer here, I think, is what our attitude and answer ought to be. And Simon Peter answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That when we come before the Lord and worship, He is feeding our souls and nourishing us unto life eternal. And that's what we are getting as we go into the worship service. And we ought to have the same attitude. Why would we want something else? Why would we want to substitute it with comedy sketches or whatever else it might be? I mean, we need the Word.
I think people these days, too, just forget how amazing this privilege of worship is. You know, think about what Jesus Christ did. He is the eternal Son of God. He descended to this earth. He took on our human nature, our flesh. He lived in that flesh for 30 plus years. He went in that flesh. He suffered and died, and then He rose again. And then. After being with His disciples for 40 days, he ascended to the Father, and there He is at the right hand of God, and now He lives in this new creation. He's brought about a new creation, and what we believe as Reformed Christians is that we're united to Him, and that we partake of His risen life. That we not only receive forgiveness of sins from Him and all of His benefits, but those benefits are, you know, the technical word is they're eschatological. They're part of the new creation. And so He's giving us His risen life via the Holy Spirit. And that's just a tremendous privilege. Mm-hmm. And so to come to a worship service and not receive once again that risen life is just a crime, really.
It should be. I mean, it should. You can hear Peter's longing in his answer. Where do we go? If we can't get it here, there's no hope. You know, and the church is the only one that knows the answer of Jesus Christ. It's our job to give Jesus Christ and to share His words and to teach His truth. And if we're not doing that, if we've traded it for political influence or whatever else it might be, then we not only have we're like Esau. We sold everything for a bowl of porridge.
Exactly. You know, in one of the parables, I think Jesus teaches us that He is the pearl of great price. He's the treasure of the church, the treasure of the people of God. But he's really the treasure of worship. And so we want to gaze upon His glory. We want to be fed by Him. We want to receive, and we really believe, and maybe in another show we can get into this, but we really believe that that the worship of the church is heavenly, that it takes place around the throne of Jesus Christ. So what's happening is something that really transcends this life and this world and puts us into another world, so
yes,
to speak.
And sets our minds on the things above that we will partake of in full when the Lord Jesus comes again. That's amazing to contemplate. And if you're out there and you're looking and you want a worship that's focused on Christ, and if you're hungering for the words of life, let me invite you to come join us. We're going to be having some Sunday night services soon. Right now we've got a Tuesday night Bible study here in Omaha at 7 p.m. at the Country Inn and Suites. That's the one on Pratt Avenue near the airport. And if you want to come down to Lincoln and St. John's, we worship at 10:30 on South 26th Street, 1101. We beg you, find a place where you can have Christ lifted up, and so you can feed on Him every week. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson, and thank you very much, Reverend Weber, for joining us. And I hope you'll come back and do it again.
Yeah, thanks, Lee.
Thank you. All right, this has been Pilgrim Radio. We hope you'll come back next Saturday at 1 o'clock for another discussion about the worship. You're listening to 660 KCRO.